Be seated, please. I can't remember whether I mentioned this last Sunday. I know I did in Bible study last week, because it strikes me the same way every 3 years, and I can hardly ever let it go past without mentioning the fact that this reading from Matthew's Gospel, the "Get behind me, Satan" remark aimed at Peter, comes immediately and directly after last week's "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." I just love that and can't let it go by without comment. Context, if not everything, certainly counts for a great deal. The rock pronouncement followed on the heels of Peter's recognition of Jesus as Messiah, as if Jesus had just been waiting for someone to have this epiphany and make that declaration aloud. Finally, recognition not only of Jesus' identity, but also of their mission undertaken together, because that was the keystone of that. In the context for today's admonition, Peter had just said, "You're the Messiah, and we need to take care of you. God forbid that you should be hunted down and persecuted and killed." I really don't think the "raised from the dead on the third day" part had sunk in yet for Peter. Or maybe Peter thought he misheard that piece. But the point is that Peter's second statement, "today's," was a logical outgrowth of his first, last Sunday's. It makes all kinds of sense that the Messiah, this person come to bring God's love incarnate into the world, should be protected and live a long life in order to reach as many people as possible. And there's the rub. Jesus tells him that he simply doesn't understand. Well, he really, really says it and emphasizes the point by calling his main man Satan. So there's no mistaking that. Jesus speaks of this in terms of Peter's setting his mind, as he says, on human things, not God's plan. Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't think that God's plan did not include the assassination of his son? Or, parsed a little more closely, as I like to think of it, humanly, no doubt, not divinely, that Jesus himself knew that his death was imminent based on the upheaval and controversy surrounding him and his mission, not some Buck Rogers view into the future of, because that takes the whole resurrection away. If Jesus says, "Well, I'm just going to go to sleep for 3 days," we have to believe that he felt the impending and threatening nature of those around him who would cause his death. And Jesus seems to have known by some means God's love would be shown somehow, to be stronger than death. So that's one aspect of today's gospel taken alongside last week. Another aspect which intrigues me is Peter's own role, personality, character. Peter, perhaps feeling a bit ego-inflated by the rock statement, was again perhaps emboldened, feeling a bit closer to Jesus, enjoying a boost in his stock among the other apostles, was willing to offer advice to the Messiah. Well, at least not to guard his tongue as he might have otherwise. "I'm the rock," he might have thought. "Oh no, boss, that can't happen." Oops. He had overstepped his authority, his place in the scheme of things. Now here comes the other aspect I mentioned. He might have responded to his having been put in his place by saying or thinking, all right then, I'll just keep my mouth shut, play my cards close to my vest. Who needs this kind of judgment? I mean, he'd already tried the walking on the water experiment only to sink up to his knees and be told that he was one of little faith. You'd think that might have taught him to be a little more circumspect in his thoughts and actions around Jesus. But here he goes again. Great idea, uncertain grasp on the God made flesh reality. And as we know, it didn't end there. Jesus later told him that he would deny even knowing him when the chips were down. No way, says Peter. Right before, on schedule, he voiced that denial three times. A couple of minutes ago, I mused about whether all this was indicative of Peter's role or personality or character, and for now I've decided yes, all three, maybe more. Like Thomas, Peter's role sometimes appears to be an unwitting shill in the audience. Hey, here's a good idea. Let's build some tents for you and Moses and Elijah, saying what somebody else might have been thinking, but not saying. Wrong again. But good for you for suggesting it, Jesus might have said. It gives me an opportunity to teach you and your buddies and future generations a lesson about the way God reveals the divine self. Ditto, walking on water with little faith. Likewise, Messiah, and God forbid. And yes, even that threefold denial, what a role to play in the story of salvation, to be the one who runs off his mouth only to be straightened out and through him straightening out others for generations to come. Personality. I'm convinced that Peter was one of those type A people who thought of thought and action, not giving a lot of thought to the consequences of the immediate instinctual response. My guess is that Jesus signed him on with this in mind. And remember, just like all of us who make up the church, not all the apostles had such a psychological makeup, it would seem. Others were more reticent, more demure. Character. This seems to me a complex issue. Peter was not undone by his apparent missteps, or we would never know about him. As a matter of fact, we see him as someone who seems to value his experiences and encounters, both negative and positive. His primary concern, by all scriptural evidence, was not, how am I coming off to others? When he erred on the side of the smaller, immediate picture, lost in the details, he was open to being taught about the big picture and his place in it. He was willing to lose his life for Jesus' sake, in order to find his true life, his true self. And indeed, some sources have counted him as Bishop of Rome and Bishop of Antioch before his own crucifixion, which you probably know the lore about. He was crucified upside down, having said, I'm not worthy to be crucified in the same manner as my Lord. Whatever else this passage has to tell us, we can certainly learn something by seeing ourselves in relation to Peter, perhaps Jesus' closest ally. Whether we're bold or withdrawn by nature, whether we are at one moment impetuous and another regretful, or any other of the traits we might see in this apostle and all of them, I believe we're all meant to trust that we have a place in God's kingdom, in the grand scheme of things, that we are meant to move beyond our many mistakes. First of all, we're meant to make them when they're made in good faith. Move beyond them, even the ones that trouble us greatly, in order to occupy our space in God's loving family for whom our Lord gave his life. There's a line in AA, no matter how far down the scale we've sunk, others may benefit from our experience. And that's what we do with Peter. I mean, not that Peter was a rake or a bad guy, but he was a good guy, making pretty notable mistakes along the way. And we benefit from that as well as what else he did in his life. One minute we might be called the rock, and the next be called Satan. We're all of us God's children. And our purpose is to live fully and to bring the good news of God's love to all those around us in every way by God's grace that we can. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.